20 years before Steve Irwin. Steve Irwin was killed by what's it called?
Stingray.
Yeah. Yeah. So they named the Corvette after him. Straight through the heart.
That was pretty tragic.
Nobody saw the video. And I think he's still alive. I think that's BS. I think he works for MI6.
Wouldn't that be, like, just the
the crocodile guy?
Why wouldn't he?
Brought down by a stingray.
He's not. Paul Hogan was the crocodile guy. He just ran a zoo in Australia.
Irwin's
it's not as
hunter.
My theory is the same dude.
Wait, are you saying Paul Hogan is Steve Irwin?
Reincarnated.
That just blew my mind.
That's what I'm talking about.
Welcome to another episode of Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting. Dutch here, along with...
Dylan.
And...
We were just talking, and...
Daryl.
We finally get to meet Daryl.
Yeah.
See, a subsidiary of Dylan and Dutch Metal Detecting is Triple D Mining Incorporated.
Visit us.
We're not incorporated.
Visit us at dddmining.com.
Or Dylan and Dutch at Gmail. You could find us actually also at Dylan and Dutch at Gmail on YouTube.
You can really find us anywhere.
Subscribe to us, of course, on iTunes.
info@dddmining.com. All of the above.
There's so many ways to get hold of us.
Yeah,
smoke.
Just,
signal.
Yeah, we'll come.
Just yell our names out.
A bat signal.
Wherever there's injustice, you'll find us.
Yeah.
Even if you just vibrate hard enough, we'll be there.
Hey, so this is the first time that Daryl is joining us on the podcast, which is exciting. Remember when...
I mean, it's exciting if you're a human.
Yeah. Remember when we met Daryl for the first time?
How can I forget?
Oh, my gosh. Now, that's
you know
a good
what?
Story.
What? That's actually a really good story.
You want to...
We should tell it.
All right.
I'll start it off.
Okay.
I'll start off. We were hiking... About 15 years ago? Was it 15 or 16? I always forget.
Doesn't matter. It's irrelevant.
15 or 16 years ago, me and Dutch were hiking up the Lost Coast. And if you understand anything about the Lost Coast, you're supposed to hike south because the jet stream will hit you if you hike north, and it's going to be really unpleasant. But
yeah, most people hike south to have the wind at their back, but...
We don't because we're men, and we know what we're doing.
Wind
They're
in our
underselling
face.
This. Most people that try the northward hike do not make it. They do not make it.
You know, but see, most of the things we do that other people try to do, other people will probably die. We don't.
I forgot that goes without saying.
It's why we are who we are.
Right.
So,
it's actually why you're listening to us right now, in real time. You're listening to us because we do talk the talk, and we walk the walk.
So on this walk...
Dutch, go.
On this walk, we're hiking north, wind in our face, and we come across a group of probably 10 other hikers.
They were
pale.
Scared
oh, my
to
gosh.
Death.
Pale, scared to death, could hardly talk. A
couple were catatonic. Someone wanted to call in a med chopper.
Medevac.
Medevac, that's what they call
yeah.
it. And there was no signal.
We normally make it a point not to talk to people.
Why should we?
Exactly. There's just no reason.
I'm not saying people are beneath us, but
no.
Most of them are.
But they approached us, and clearly they were frightened and seeking our help, and we're not ones to turn people down.
Every time someone tries to seek our help, it's usually because they're terrified.
they start telling us in bits and pieces...
Which I didn't believe for one minute.
...as much as they can, this story of...
Made no sense.
...their camp being attacked the night before by two bears... And
it's not how bears work, but go ahead.
Well,
immediately we knew there was complete BS.
There was something going on, something wrong here. So two bears attacked their camp, and just when they thought that they were done for, it was a bunch of Girl Scouts, by the way. As soon as they thought they were done for, this pack of wolves emerges from the woods.
And that's when I started believing
and
that this happened, because this is how wolves fight.
And attacks, pounces on these bears. Rips them to shreds.
Yeah.
Not only a pack of wolves, but with the wolves is a wild man. That's really
that
all the details. Yeah, that was all the details they could really give us. And there was a wild man with the wolves.
Again, then I started saying, nah, this doesn't make any sense. It's not adding up.
They couldn't say anything else. So, and they continued hiking. They were safe. They were out of danger.
And first of all, they're out of danger because we were there.
It's true. We continue hiking north, and we're intrigued.
They were pleading with us, don't go north.
They were.
Do not go north.
They were.
Some were begging, and they grabbed onto your jeans, And they said, do not go. Whatever you do, promise us. And we said, no, we have to find out what this is.
I had to shake that girl off my leg.
Yeah, it's kind of funny. We had to find out what was going on. Because did Arnold Schwarzenegger go home in Predator when his first crew member was killed?
No, skinned, flayed.
Right.
Yeah.
Did he go home when his second crew member was just completely destroyed by the Predator?
Mm-mm.
Did he go home when Dylan was shot through the heart by the Predator's laser?
First of all, can we talk about that laser cannon?
I've been waiting for you to ask about that laser cannon.
Oh my gosh. I mean...
I think about it every day.
You're the Predator. Is that really fair? Is that giving your prey a sporting chance?
No, it's not fair at all.
It seems un-Predator-like to do that.
He was written very poorly.
Yeah, and so... We continue hiking. Night is falling.
We're going to earmark that. We're going to go back to that Predator.
Yeah. To be fair, it was a particle cannon.
Oh, is that what that was?
Thanks for the insight. Like to put
that out. We didn't ask you, but I'm glad that you gave some input there.
The good thing is you don't need to ask.
It's true. Just pipe on in.
So, night is falling, and we want to see if we can replicate the events of the previous night, the story that these people told us. We want to make, are they telling the truth?
How else can you do a proper scientific experiment if you can't replicate the results?
Exactly. We bait the bear.
Yeah.
We take out our food, which mostly consists of hams, steaks, and bacon. That's your basic essentials.
I brought out some granola bars because it's the part of the woods where a lot of hippies are.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to throw a granola bar out there. They'll chase it.
It's like the law of marketing. You throw enough things against the wall, something's going to stick.
So we bait it, and we make our camp, which basically is we build a fire, and we sleep on the ground because we're men.
Remember the movie First Night, where Sean Connery, they're about to attack Prince Valiant, and he says, put the camp over there in the open field, and his first in command says, no, that's too open. They'll see it. Sean Connery, as King Arthur, looks at him and says in so many words, no, you're going to do it. And he says, of course, sire. That's exactly what we were doing here. That, we were putting our camp in the open, waiting for these bears to come out.
We covered ourselves with this meat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You sprayed honey all over yourself.
I won't do that again, but it worked?
It worked.
Middle of the night, we hear the bear long before it gets... Here's the thing about bears.
Break it down for our listeners.
Bears, they're noisy. They don't need to be stealthy.
Bears are idiots.
They're clumsy. They have no need to be stealthy, so we hear it coming from a mile away.
Probably 2 miles away when you really think about it, because we're kind of uphill from its lair.
The thing is slow, too. We're waiting for a long time. Finally, it gets to us.
Eventually, we're going to, I think, two or three podcasts down the line, we're going to talk about visiting that bear's actual lair. But that's not for today.
That's another good story, though. The bear approaches us. We let it start eating the various... meats off of us.
You want it to be comfortable.
Yeah, we didn't want it scared away. We wanted to. We're trying to attract this wolf pack if it even exists. So we realize, it's not making enough noise. We need to cause some commotion. So we instantly stand up, just jump right up. But the bear, it's like, what's going on? And it starts to run away.
Scared to death.
Dylan circles around. We get it in between us.
I had to run pretty fast.
Yeah. Dylan slaps it. And the
bear...
Wasn't
the best thing to do.
No, you really should have, like...
In survival training, they tell you not to slap a bear.
You need to uppercut it.
I didn't uppercut it. I didn't have the angle.
Slaps it. The bear... We're trying to keep the bear from getting away. We don't want it to run away. We want it to cause a commotion.
It. Yeah, it was pretty sad.
So the bear, it doesn't really have a lot of fight in it, but we eventually get it to start fighting us back. We're kind of tag-teaming it.
Yeah.
It's going back and forth, and it's my turn. I'm up, and
I tagged you in.
I'm basically boxing this bear a little bit.
If we fought it together, it would have been dead long before any wolf came.
How big was it? 500, 600 pounds?
It was 600 pounds if it was an ounce. Go.
It's my turn to box. Dylan says, Dutch, the woods.
Right.
I turn.
That's when I pulled out my nunchucks.
I turn, and I see 15 pairs of eyes... Yeah. Reflecting the firelight back at us. And that's when we knew we have summoned.
We have wolf sign.
yeah,
so to speak.
We've summoned the wild man and his wolf pack. So we're done with the bear. It's just useless now. Dylan takes the bear, puts it over his knee, spanks it. I'm hurling insults at the bear. This is the first time I've ever seen a bear cry. The bear was...
That was a weird noise. I'll never forget it.
Yeah.
But when I noticed there were 15 wolves, I pulled out my second nunchucks.
Yeah. The bear scurries off, and I take one of our bottles of scotch that we had brought, throw it on the
fire.
Cheap
stuff.
Yeah, throw it on the fire to illuminate the situation. And as the flames grow, we see 14, 15 wolves.
I couldn't count.
15
There's at least a dozen.
Wolves, and there he is standing there, the wild man.
You took a page out of Predator, and you stood there and said, come on, kill me now. Just hoping they'd pounce.
The wild man is exactly as you would have expected. Twigs in his hair, leaves, covered
in blood. He almost looked like an animal.
Blood.
There's no showering, nothing.
Wild is the perfect description. He opens his mouth and says, I've been waiting for you.
That's right, it was English.
I've been waiting for you. It was kind of wolfish. Wolf English.
Dylan had
some wax in his ears.
Yeah,
I was kind of being attacked by a wolf when that person said I was waiting for you.
Yeah, so the wild man says, I've been waiting for you. And, you know, we don't just throw instantly a bunch of questions at him. We're not like that. If he wants to say something to us, he'll say it. We sit down. We sit down at the fire and let him come if he wants to. One of his wolves drags a deer haunch over to us. We put it over the fire, start roasting it, and the wild man comes and sits.
It was only a 6-point deer, so you know it wasn't really a good bite.
Wild man comes, sits by the fire, and starts telling us his story.
I was blown away.
Turns out, he used to be an underwater welder.
Deep sea welder.
Deep sea. Well, that was
excuse
a deep
us,
sea
sorry.
Welder.
Deep
sorry.
Sea welder.
Do you want
to
tell us
Let's
a little bit about
Let's turn it over
that?
To Daryl.
Yeah, Daryl, do you want to tell us a little bit about
Before
how...
I tell you that, I would like to tell you how I heard about you, because I had indeed been waiting for you. I had been waiting for you because, for the last 5+ years, many hikers had passed by my wolf pack, my pack of brothers.
They probably don't even know. They're passing by you.
You were kind of like
they
an unseen protector.
I took it upon myself to be a sentinel. The Lost Coast can be a dangerous, treacherous place.
A lot of people die during it.
Many people do. Those that try the northern hike.
The northern passage, if you will.
It's true. The wind is too much for them. They don't understand. They do not have the strong backs of youth, gentlemen.
So you heard of us. That's how you...
Of course. Who hasn't? You're all over the radio waves.
Hikers probably listening to podcasts, our podcasts at, around the fire.
Yeah.
Listening is not the correct word. Worshipping.
That sounds more.
Is I guess
better,
so.
More accurate
description.
I wouldn't tell people to worship us because I, just based on my background. But.
Deep sea welder, and you left that. You left that.
You left that all behind. That's a good paying job.
Went into the wild. Why did you enter the wild?
It was not enough adventure for me.
It probably wasn't dangerous enough.
It was not. I mean, sure, there are sharks. There's always the possibility of accidents. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't exciting. There wasn't enough day to day.
The more we talked to you, Daryl, the more we realized we work on the same wavelength.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it turns out, I mean, Daryl starts telling us his whole story. And about needing more of a sense of danger in his life and entering the wild and falling in with this wolf pack.
Yeah.
That's a good story, too. So what happened
Tell
with
us
this
how
wolf
that
pack?
Worked.
How did you assimilate into this pack?
How many wolves did you have to kill for them
you
to
know,
gain respect?
Killing is always an option. I'm Mr. Scott. How are you, brother? But I prefer mercy. So I was hiking on the Lost Coast for a good 15 days. Now... Something to know about wolves in California. They're very uncommon. Very uncommon.
They actually are.
Yeah, like they come into California and they realize they're not in Oregon, and they turn around. Yeah.
Turn around. So I knew right away that this was an interesting, at least interesting.
Special.
Are you telling me that you brought wolves into California again?
I cannot confirm or deny that. I can only speculate.
You certainly protected them.
Based on conversations I've had with them in the last 5 years,
sure,
they've led me to believe something to that effect, but I cannot take credit for them.
So, don't wolf packs have like a leader? How did that work?
They do. The alpha is what they're called.
Please,
the alpha.
Please tell us what you had to do to be their alpha.
Now, this is kind of a secret about wolves.
It's okay. We won't share it with anyone.
Usually people believe that in order to become the leader of the wolf pack, it's simply killing the alpha.
Well, I've done that a couple times.
Right.
We do that all
and
the time.
Have
I'm not
you
a leader
become of... the leader of the pack?
No.
No. Common
misconception.
Exactly.
Yep.
Absolutely. The wolves have a bit of a tradition known as, well, I can't really translate it into English, but my best interpretation would be the feats of strength.
Just like Festivus.
Just like Festivus. I think Seinfeld might have been able to talk to wolves. Larry David. I don't know. I have a long-standing theory about that. But that's not for this podcast.
Yeah.
That's for a later podcast.
So, you became the alpha male of this wolf pack.
Yes.
Through the feats of strength.
What were the feats of strength?
Now, that is an ancient secret.
Should we not? We're not going to mention it.
We're not even going to broach it. We won't.
If I do, there would be too many people trying to become the leaders of wolf packs, and I can't allow the ground to be stained red.
That's fine.
With their attempts.
So we're sitting with Daryl for, gosh, hours, and he's just telling us all through the night all of his stories.
Tell us about how much he has admired us.
We actually end up spending a couple months with him and his pack in the woods in the Lost Coast, and he shows us, you know, all of his spots, and we take down a few bears, save
some
hikers.
I got a taste
hikers.
For bear meat. I got a really good taste. I sometimes crave it.
It is delicious. It's really the best raw, but...
Yeah.
And eventually, you know, Dutch and Dylan and I, we're ready to go back to civilization, and we say to Daryl, hey...
Come with us.
You need to join us. We've been waiting for you. And...
This whole time, we've been waiting for our last member to complete us.
To become part of a new pack.
Which is exactly what it was. It was my new pack.
He joins us. We hike back to the trailhead. Our car is still there.
No one's gonna mess with one of our cars.
No, they know.
Everybody knows.
Yeah.
Do you mess with the Pope Mobile?
No.
Do you mess with the Secret Service?
No.
You mess with Dylan and Dutch's car? Never.
No, it's metal detecting one. That's what it is. And so we drive back to civilization. Go to our local watering hole, which we actually are at right
Harry's.
Now.
Hopper Harry's. House.
We're there right now, and
that's why there's
we
music
each,
in the background.
Each down a fifth of scotch, and really the rest is history.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scotch is the most important part. In fact, keeping with tradition, let's discuss the alcohol we're actually ingesting tonight. I'm having the Lagunitas porter.
I think we all went that
did
direction.
Did we go with the same one?
The
we
rye
did, in
cocoa
fact,
porter.
The rye cocoa porter.
Oh, man, it's delicious.
It's like... We use the same brain. It's amazing.
Share the same heartbeat.
So, Daryl, you come back and you're in our group forever. We're triple D now. Daryl, this is our third podcast. This is your first one.
It is.
Tell us what your favorite for that trip. What was your favorite equipment? The most essential piece of equipment you used on our first trip. We're not going to talk about our first trip.
Journey.
What's the most essential piece of equipment on your first trip?
Essential piece of equipment. Now, that's a tough question. I do feel that the bacon was the most essential piece of equipment.
Oh, my God. That was peppered bacon.
It was
peppered fried.
Bacon. Thick cut peppered bacon. I mean, the rest of it, if we really wanted to, we could have done with our hands.
Yeah.
It was the bacon that gave me the energy and the strength.
We would eat. I made pounds of it the night before.
Multiple pounds.
I ate a lot.
What was your most essential tool on our first trip? We're not going to even talk about our first trip.
Oh, man. The first trip? Let's see, the last time I talked about the beard oil, or the beard wax.
Beard wax.
Yeah, but on this next trip, you know, I gotta say, it was probably the headlamp. You know, I mean, it's not that interesting, but it really came in handy. The headlamp, essential, absolutely essential. Going into pits and caves and mines, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
You want your hands free.
Sure.
But you want light at the same time.
One thing we don't share is the night vision.
Right.
Of our feline friends.
The most essential
canine.
Tool.
Oh, feline. Oh, gotcha, right. Gotcha.
Most essential tool, I think, for me was the throwing axe or hatchet.
Yeah.
I threw that thing all the time. Threw it at rocks, at tree trunks. I threw it into the mine and retrieved it.
That's right.
I just think it was very essential just for throwing something that sharp.
Yeah.
I loved it.
It has become a bit of a warning to anything that would want to challenge us.
Well, if I'm not going to mark my territory by urinating all over everything, but if we're going to be hiking around and I don't want any animals in our sight, I'm going to throw the hatchet around at some of the trees. They're going to know. Dylan was there. Let's just get out of here while we still can. I'm not saying I'm going to kill every animal that comes into our under our claim, but I didn't say I wasn't going to kill every animal that comes into our claim.
You know, I was teaching some students today.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, I'll teach students about gold mining,
mm-hmm.
prospecting.
It makes you an amazing teacher.
I went to, they were learning about weathering.
Sure.
So they wanted to know about chemical weathering. So I told them about some of the rocks we bring out of the ground.
Yeah.
And how the iron in the rocks oxidizes.
Absolutely.
As an example of chemical weathering and breaks
down. A lot of rust you find on the ground.
Rust, yeah. So the applications to life in all areas, they're just endless. Prospecting and... Yeah.
What I found with the three of us is a cord of three cannot easily be broken.
Absolutely.
And as iron sharpens iron, we are iron, but we do not oxidize. We do not rust.
No.
As a triple D mining company, we have never been more successful than we are as soon as we added our third D.
Yeah.
And I'm just very glad that we're doing this together. It's important for the public to know what we're about and how we met you, Daryl.
Hell of a story.
It's a great story. What's the most interesting thing about your story is it's true.
100%.
Didn't Oprah ask you to be on her show and you said no? She doesn't... At that point, the story did not need to be told.
No. Oprah has a tendency of overblowing everything.
She also jumps the gun way too fast.
The story speaks for itself. I don't need Oprah giving out prizes.
Yeah.
Wolf's teeth.
First of all, that's insulting. Listeners. That's insulting when
it
she
is.
Did that. The next time we go up to the Lost Coast, I can't wait to run with the wolves.
Yeah. To rejoin
it's majestic.
That pack. To relive that 2 months.
How many deer
do
we kill? 30? 40 deer? Their own teeth.
Yeah, I mean, we had to eat. We did.
Yeah. It was a great time.
Yeah, the game wardens left us alone, too.
They did not want to mess with anything like that.
We ran into them a couple times, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, that was
they
fine.
Said, they asked for your ID, and I said, excuse me? They're like, okay. We'll let you be, Mr. Dutch Dylan. And I said, and Daryl, too. They're like, yeah, of course. If they were dogs, their tail would be between their legs. They'd be off and running.
Remember that island we swam out to in the ocean?
How could I forget?
I couldn't believe wolves could swim like that.
Neither did I.
Yeah, that was impressive.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that whale.
It's funny what it said. I wish I spoke whale, but I couldn't.
Man, that's a story for another day.
What's important to know is, as Dylan and Dutch would say, Daryl is a vital part of Triple D Mining Company.
Yeah.
And if you want to know more about Triple D Mining Company, go on YouTube and search for Triple D Mining. You'll see a slideshow of us.
You can go to dddmining.com and click on our YouTube link, our Facebook link, our Instagram link, and
please,
you can access this podcast.
Please like and review this podcast. Give us 5 stars if you can. Tell your friends. Actually, your friends probably already know. You're probably the last one to find out about Dylan and Dutch. How should we end this podcast? It's all the same. Only the names change. Everything. Actually, no, that's Wanted Dead or Alive. Should we sing a portion of Blaze of Glory?
Do it. Take us home.
You know any portion of Blaze of Glory, Matt? It's our theme song. Yeah, that our friend John, he let us use Blaze of Glory for the theme song. I keep forgetting his last name. John something. Ronnie.
Joseph.
No. Maybe it's Joseph.
Joshua.
Joshua Bon.
It sounded French.
Really? I don't know what it was. Anyways, that is Dylan and Dutch, Metal Detecting, with Triple D, Daryl, signing out. Sometimes